I want to just, before we get to the sermon, remind you of one thing. February 7th is a wild game dinner, the men's wild game dinner, and there are some handouts as you go out, be praying about who you might hand those to, those you would invite. We have Dean Holst coming. He's a local guy from Norway, and has a great love for Christ, and he's been all over the place hunting and so forth, and I believe that God will use him powerfully. So we look forward to that, but be in prayer about that. Turn, if you would, to Acts 20, Acts the 20th chapter, verse 35 is where we'll be today. Acts 20, verse 35. I want to read that text, and then we'll go ahead and ask God to help us in our time in the Word here. Acts 20, verse 35. By the way, next week we'll be back in Acts, the 5th chapter. We'll pick it up with the last few verses of Acts 4, but then we'll get into that 5th chapter, and we'll begin to go week by week again through that teaching. But here we are in Acts 20, verse 35. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, and here's the text we're really going to focus on this morning. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made known to us that which we otherwise would not know, and preserving and keeping your word and giving it. Thank you that we here in America, in this place, have the freedom and the opportunity to have multiple scriptures to look at, multiple Bibles, different translations, so much opportunity to look into the word and to see your face. Thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to come together and worship today. And Father, as I look out at this audience this morning, I note there are those that have come from afar, some back for a while. And we thank you that we can come together and have this fellowship through the blood of Christ. Father, we need you today. We need you to speak to us. We need to hear what you have to say. I pray, Father, that you would use your word and take it and open our hearts, allow it to penetrate, allow it to speak to us. I pray that we might see our need today as it is. And we are needy people. Father, minister strongly. We have a lot of, in our congregation, we have a lot of those that are hurting with health issues. And I pray that you would minister to those, and to those who minister to those health issues. Help those that grieve today. Help those that are hurting. Those that may be down. I pray that they might see you and Jesus in a new light. We would ask your help now, and we understand, Father, that the one who proclaims and the one who listens is nothing. And so we need you to speak through your word and through your spirit, to take me and take the listener where we need to go. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Yearly I do a sermon on stewardship, and I want to speak to you about stewardship today. There are 9 words here that Jesus mentions that I believe can be of great benefit to us today. You know, one of the benefits of a reading schedule in the Bible and taking time to daily look into the Word is that we're reminded of truths again and again that we may have forgotten. For me, it's refreshing and helpful. It benefits my soul. It feeds me. It impacts my thinking and thus my doing. But today, we are just into this new year, and I'd like to remind you of a truth that we need to keep in the forefront of our thinking. What is it? It is that we have been given a stewardship of time, talent, treasure, and truth. These words recorded by Luke in Acts 20:35, and the principle they lay forth a principle for all stewards to live by. In these few words, there is freedom, there is joy, there is blessing for us. Just 9 words. And in these 9 words, Jesus sets before us a blueprint. A blueprint for stewardship that when practiced will set us free from the selfishness and self-centeredness that I think each of us battle with to incredible joy. Giving with the right attitude produces immeasurable joy. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. There are four realities I want to speak to you today about from this text. The first reality I want us to consider is this, that we really need to understand this principle. We are to understand what is written here. These words quoted by Paul of our Lord and recorded by Luke are found only here in the Scriptures. None of the Gospel writers mentioned them. That's not particularly surprising because it would have taken volumes of books to record all the Lord has said and taught. They were, however, words known to followers. You notice he says here in verse 35, "And everything I showed you by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said." And it seems to me that he's saying, you guys need to recall this. You've heard this. So they're words that are known. They're just nine words. But contained in these nine words, I believe, are the secret to living with great freedom and joy. Dr. Earl Pierce used to call this the supreme beatitude because, unlike the other beatitudes, it tells us how to be more blessed. More blessed. The principle could be stated this way, and these are my words: it's better to give than to get. Okay, that's just a country boy reducing it there. Eugene Peterson, I think he's a little better than I am, so he states it this way: you're far happier giving than getting. It rightly can be said that givers are the most blessed people in the whole world. For any follower of Christ, not to be a giver is antithetical to one's position as a child of the Creator. For us not to have a heart for others, for the poor, for missions, for the ministry of the local church, that's contrary to what it is to be a follower of Christ. The principle that is before us and stated by our Lord, it can be stated because he emboldened this truth in his coming and in his ministry. Now, he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus lived that. But two, I want you to note something here, and it's worth noting. Jesus doesn't state that it's not a blessing in receiving. He doesn't say that. Now, that's difficult for, I think, many of us to do, is to receive. But Jesus doesn't say there's not a blessing in that. If there's going to be giving, someone has to be the recipient of that giving. Or it's not going to work at all, right? Someone has to be the recipient of that. And let us remember, we are first and foremost, we are first and foremost the recipients of God's gracious and giving heart in many, many ways. It is said of our Lord, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." For your sakes. "So that you, through his poverty, might become rich." 2 Corinthians 8:9. Furthermore, in Mark 10:45, it states, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus really embodied what it was to have a giving heart. Think with me for a moment what it is that we are recipients of by way of our giving God and giving Lord. He gave us the Word. We've opened the Word today. You guys have been in it, I trust, in the last week or so. You've been fed by it, instructed by it, blessed by it, comforted by it. The Word. You know, not everybody has this. We as people in this country, How many volumes of the Word do we have? We're so blessed. But he's given his Word, and he's kept that Word. He's preserved it through the years. But he's given us a Savior. We just celebrated that. Good news of great joy for all people, for us, for you. There's been born tonight a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We have a Savior. You know, we needed a Savior. God provided. He gave us his one and only Son. He's adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God. Adopted. Full rights. As adults, we're adopted. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ because God gave. We have this imputed righteousness that's placed on our account because our God is a giving God. We didn't deserve that. He just gave that. We have our daily bread, our daily sustenance by way of feeding our bodies and our souls from God, from our great and giving God. And we're the recipients of that. We have hope, a blessed hope. We talked about that last week. So the first reality I want you to understand is we need to get this principle. We need to get this principle. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Secondly, we're stewards of all he has entrusted us with. We have a stewardship. Do you know that? Each of us are stewards. What Jesus said here pertains to stewardship. It directly pertains to it. It's important that we take the opportunity to exercise our stewardship wisely. We only go around once here, folks. Okay, we got one shot at it. You know, our minds may immediately go toward money and its use. Okay, toward giving, whether it's missions or the local church or whatever. Now, I don't think that's wrong, but I believe it's a whole lot more than that. A stewardship that we've been given isn't simply with my finances. It's not just that. We're lacking if we think stewardship is just that. And matter of fact, for some of us, we might look at that and just think, well, I'm done now. I gave to whatever, and there it is. No, it's more than that. Do you know we're stewards of time? We've been allotted just so much. It's appointed unto man once to die. And that, you know, we're a day closer. I don't want to sound like a downer here today, but we're a day closer. I just want us to make sure we acknowledge that, you know what, I have so many days. I don't know what those are. I want to make the most of them. Moses said it this way in Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We're stewards of time. We're stewards of what we do with the time that we have. Colossians 4, 5 talks about redeeming the time, making the most use of it. So its stewardship involves time as well. And we are stewards. You've been given that as a believer in Christ, as a follower of our great God. You are a steward of all that he's entrusted you to you. And that comes, what comes into that is with time. So it's something that we need to measure, and we need to think about our stewardship. We're stewards of talent. By this I mean not only what we can do, but I'm thinking more of towards spiritual gifts and what God has entrusted us to with that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're stewards of what God has given us in talent and gifts as well. Two, we're to remember that we're stewards of treasure. And that comes in thoughts of all that finances and material goods. Every one of us have been given something from God, and you're entrusted with that, whatever that is, homes, vehicles, all these temporary things you are a steward of. They're to be used for the glory of God. And finally, truth. We may not even think about a stewardship of truth. We have been given the truth, and we are stewards of that truth. And we're to pass that on to the next generation, to our children. We're to give that out to those who need to hear. 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14, retain the standard of sound words, Paul said to Timothy, which you heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us this treasure which has been entrusted to you. So we're stewards there of truth. And we're to shine the light of Christ, Matthew 5, to shine the light of Christ. We are to do that. We are stewards. And every steward is accountable. Right? We haven't just been given a stewardship and we're to think about, okay, what are we supposed to be doing with that? And time, talent, treasure, and truth and all those things. And not think that one day, as stewards, we'll meet with an accounting. Every steward is accountable. So it is that every believer is accountable to God in this area. And we ought not to take it lightly. And I need to proclaim this to you. I need to remind this to you. Remind you of this morning. We will give an account of our stewardship to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And there's a day of accountability coming for every one of us. And he, our Lord, desires to reward us richly. He desires that we operate in his grace, in the stewardship, to be used powerfully by him for his glory. So friends, store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. We are to do that. Take this stewardship seriously. Don't take it lightly. Don't set it aside. Yield to his grace and his help in his heart in this area. And I believe every one of us can grow in this. You know, I don't think I'm saying something this morning where you guys are going to walk out of here and say, you know, I got that down perfect. I don't even need that. That was for the guy or the gal next to me. And boy, the pastor got through to them. No, this is for you and I. We're stewards of all these things. And it's a serious thing. So we need to recognize that one day we'll give an accounting to God, and he wants to reward us greatly. He wants us to do this in a way that brings great joy to you and I here and now, and stores up treasures for that which is to come. Thirdly, I want you to recognize something as well. We're blessed multiple times over when we give. I'm coming back to this now, okay? So I want you to understand the principle. It's better to give than to receive. There's great joy in giving. Wow, it's a blessing to give. There's joy there. And I want you to know that, you know, one day we'll give an accounting, time, treasure, talent, and truth. But we are blessed multiple times over when we give. Multiple times over when we give. I believe that Jesus is speaking, what he's speaking here to, has to do with treasure. I think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about giving to the poor. Because Paul looks at it that way. He says, you know, remember the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said. So he's thinking about those in need. It's better to give. I'm more blessed to give than to receive. He's speaking about ministering to the needs of others in giving toward those needs. I think he's saying that there's a blessing in doing so. And now, blessed here, or blessed, has the idea of possessing favor from God. Okay? Possessing favor from God. The state of being marked by fullness from God. So it indicates the state of the believer in Christ, and it has everything to do with what's going on in the heart of the individual as they respond to opportunities that God gives them. So we're blessed multiple times over when we give. And I'm going to move around just a bit here. And I want to just mention here, first of all, that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we give, however that is, that touches the heart of God. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. So there's an attitude that goes with giving. And if we can't give as we ought to give with the right attitude, you might as well keep it. You might as well forget it, because it is that. There's no reward there. God sees it. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. But if we can get where we need to get with God, I think then we can exercise this stewardship in a way that's pretty special. But God loves a cheerful giver. So we're blessed multiple times over when we give. There's a blessing that comes from God and to God. Do you know that? He loves that. That moves him. God loves a cheerful giver. I want to say, secondly here, that we're never more like Christ than when we give. We're never more like the Lord Jesus than when we give. From the heart of our Lord who has risen again flows grace upon grace. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's to us. Grace upon grace upon grace. By the way, we're meeting here again today because he's risen. He is. We serve a risen Savior. And you remember, now I want you to think about his heart for a moment as pertains to giving. You remember in John 6 when he prayed over those five loaves, that young lad came up, he had five loaves, two fishes. What did Jesus do with those five loaves and two fishes? He multiplied them times over again and again. And he fed 5,000 men. There could have been 15,000 people there. He gave. He gave that they could eat. That's in John 6. Now, he's giving. He prayed over those loaves and he gave. He ministered that through the disciples. I remember, too, our Lord in John 11. He gave. He gave life back to Lazarus, his earthly life, with three words. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus come forth, and his life was given back to him. Let's not forget that the crucified Christ on the cross and those who were next to him, remember those two thieves? They were railing on him. But one repented. One repented. after railing and scorning him and making fun of him. And Jesus, and he requested of our Lord, at that moment in time, after that, he requested of our Lord that he might have eternal life. And you remember what Jesus did, right? He responded with a giving heart. He said, "Truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. We have a giving Lord. You remember when he gave you eternal life? Remember that? I got one. How giving. How precious. We're never more like Christ than when we give, because he gave it all. He left heaven's glory, set aside all that to go to the cross. He gave. He gave you eternal life. Gave me eternal life, a home in heaven, forgiveness, daily bread, hope. He gave. I believe this touches the heart of our Lord when we give. You may say, "You know, Pastor, I have so little." All of us have something. All of us can minister in some way. We can give in some way. One of the things that I do at times, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but just saying there's a lot of different ways to do this. There's somebody in this congregation. I won't say who they are, but I'll see a funny birthday card, a real hoot. I'll buy it, and I'll walk up to them, hand it to them, and walk away. And by when I'm walking away, I say, "Happy birthday." It's not their birthday. And I'll look back, and they'll have kind of a confused look on their face. It's just a birthday card. It's not even their birthday. But you know what it does? It says something to them. Then you don't even have to hit it right. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of ways to do this. It may be sending a card. It may be sending an note. It may be a phone call. It may be pulling up beside someone and just saying, "Hey, how's it going? I've been thinking about you. How can I pray for you?" Or you see a need and you minister to it. There are those in this congregation at times that have needs. You know, our people are faithful to be close enough to them to understand that, you know what? This is where they are. This is what I can do. God doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to know what you would do if you had $10 million. He doesn't want to know that. He wants to know, what are you doing with the $5 you have? What are you doing with the gift that you have, a spiritual gift? What are you doing with that? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with these things? You're accountable for what you have, not what you don't have. So we want to be like Christ and just give and give and give. We're blessed multiple times over when we do that. We really are. We're blessed in this too, in that we're storing up treasure in heaven that will pay big dividends. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Store up treasure in heaven. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. We don't have time. I'm not going to go there. But I want to say this lastly, in thinking over giving, not lastly. I got one other thing I want to say here after this, but we are blessed multiple times over when we give, in that we're putting materialism to death. Materialism, the acquisition of possessions. That's the motor that drives many individuals to invest all that they have to acquire things that end up owning them. I'll tell you what, I'm at the point in my life, whenever I get something now, I'm thinking, okay, what's the upkeep on this going to be? You know, what investment of time am I going to have in this? Who am I going to have to call to help me to fix this and all those things? But materialism, friends, it's what our culture pushes. The one that dies with the most toys wins. That's really what it says. But you know, with us, when we give, we're cutting the chains of the grip of that things have on us. We're just cutting those chains. And when we give, we release a death grip of one of the gods of this age, materialism. It's an area that many believers struggle with. I think we all do. But giving will put it to death. How would you like to, you know, here's 2015. If someone said, "Look, here's a way to go through 2015 with a big grin on your face, joy, and to be a blessing to God," well, here it is. This really is it. 9 words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Boy, they're words that just release us, that help us. And I want to say lastly, under this whole thought of it's more that we're blessed multiple times over when we give, that we're proving our love for God. I want to ask you to turn there. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. You might say, Pastor, that's a little much to say that. I'm not sure about that. I want you to see this. There's beautiful verses here for us, 2 of them, that speak to this. We're proving our love to God when we have a giving heart. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 and 8. By the way, 2 great and wonderful chapters to study about giving are 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There you've got an assignment for next week. You're going to look at Acts 5, the first few verses, through verse 11, but you're also going to look at this text. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Here it is in verses, I want to just look at verses 7 and 8. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. And he's talking about giving. I'm not speaking this as a command. Paul's not saying this is a command. No, I'm not speaking it as a command. But as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. He's saying, listen, take this opportunity, prove your love by giving. Take this opportunity, prove your love by giving. Lastly, I just wanted to speak to you just a few minutes. I'm going to let you go. We open the door to implausible joy when we give, okay? We open the door to incredible joy when we give. Why? A couple things. By way of obedience, God calls us to be faithful in this area as stewards, faithful in what he's trusted us to. God loves a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he talks about, listen, when you think about giving, you need to think about, okay, I need to prepare myself to do so. And this is what I need to be investing in and thinking through it and so forth. And you're to give as God prospers you. All these things are there. But by way of obedience yields blessings always, right? It does. Whenever we obey God, there's blessing there. When we act upon truth that God has given us, we open the door for God's blessings to flow. And they will flow. In obedience, you have a clear conscience. In obedience, you know, there's just this joy in my heart that I'm doing what God has called me to do. Okay, then lastly, by way of practice, when our walk and our actions and practice are in line with our Lord's directives, there's joy. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So there's joy there. Why is that? Because whenever one's focus is on self or what we have or what we don't have or what we do with what we have or what we don't do, joy is extracted. When our focus becomes on what I don't have, and I just wish I had that, and this covetousness takes over, it's in line for certainly with what our culture calls for. You know, whenever we focus on that, joy just taken away. Joy just is removed. There's no blessing there. I believe some of the most miserable people in the world are believers who have their eyes on everything this earth has to offer, the possessions that they must have here and now. And they are miserable because of it. Who are the most happy people in the world? Jesus said it. Those people that give. That is the path to joy, at least one of them. And I'll say to you, I'll close with this. We are never freer than when we realize we own nothing and we're just caretakers of it for the glory of the Lord. Now, I want to challenge you this in this new year, just to have a giving heart and enjoy the smile of God with unimaginable joy in this coming year. Let's pray. Loving Father, you have blessed us to come together. You've blessed us to allow us to receive and be recipients of your gracious giving heart. Thank you for all you've done and are doing and are yet to do. I pray, Father, for each one here today, that you would one day reward them greatly because of their faithfulness here and now. And that's what we seek. We seek that one day they may hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We are stewards of all you've given us, you've entrusted us with. Help us, Father, to see our lives in that way. In those things that you've given us care over, to see them as to be used for your honor. Father, there'll be some here today that are struggling in this area in their life greatly. I pray that you would, by faith, allow them to say, you know what? This is what I have. I'm going to set aside so much and begin to give faithfully to the Lord. And I'll trust him with it. And I'll see what he'll do. You've even said for us to test you in this way. Father, pour out blessing. We realize that we're not saying that's monetarily. We're not saying that at all. But there's blessing. There's joy. There's storing up treasure in heaven that won't fade away. Father, may your hand be on your people as they go. We pray your help. And in this new year, find us to be these kind of stewards. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You're dismissed. Please let me get to the back.